All right. Well, good morning, everybody. So glad to see you. So glad that you're here. And I'm glad to be back. Like Chris said, we had an amazing week last week going out to Lake Eva, celebrating 22 baptisms. Just amazing how God showed up in that way. But we're back into it today, back into meeting together, worshiping together, and we're kicking off a new series, as you can see, called Removing Brain Rot. Any of you excited about this? How many of you are like, I don't know what brain rot is? Okay, good. So you all know. You've all experienced this in your life, so this is great. Okay. So awesome. What I want to encourage you, someone reminded me of this a couple weeks back. I have sermon notes online, so it has all the stuff that you'll see on the screen. Of course, you can take your own notes and write things down, but if you want to scan that, you can go and scan that, and so you can follow along there. Let's kick this off. I kind of want to kind of give you kind of a just a little bit of a preface of what we're looking at, why we're looking at it, and where we're going. So in 2024, Oxford declared brain rot the word of the year, right? How crazy is that? Like, this is the word of the year, brain rot. And the reason why is because there was like a 224% spike in usage of the word. And so it's a term that describes what happens when our minds become overloaded, exhausted, and numb from consuming endless amounts of low-quality digital content. Now, a recent study of this phenomenon revealed the following. Ready? Brain rot is real. It's not just something that's just this fun word to think about. It's something that is real. And what it does is it leads to mental fog, poor concentration, decision fatigue, and even anxiety and depression. The other things that it realizes is that the root cause is overload. It's constant notifications, endless scrolling, dopamine-driven loops from things like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram that keep us hooked but leave us empty. And then the impact is everywhere. We could say, well, this is just the younger generation. This is just, you know, teens and preteens and young adults, but it's not me. But it's causing people to lose their ability to focus and connect and reflect. And the reality is none of us are immune. And what's interesting is this, you have this secular study is basically confirming what Scripture has always taught us. What you put in your mind is going to shape who you become. You know, Paul says it in Romans 12:2. It's a passage I think most of us know, and it says this: do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, what the digital age has done is it has normalized distraction and passivity. But God has always called us to renewal, to transformation, into living out the purposes that he has in our lives. And so what we're going to do during this series, we're going to expose the cultural brain rot that is in our own life, that numbs us, that distracts us, and then we're going to look at God's word to help us understand how the daily pursuit of practices, of scripture, of prayer, of worship, of being in community with other believers will bring renewal to our minds instead of brain rot. Anyone ever heard of the phrase or used the phrase vegging out? Vegging out? My young people, you ever heard the phrase vegging out? A little bit? What's that? It's the equivalent to brain rot. This is one of those things, like it's zoning out in front of the TV, wasting time sitting in front of the TV. Of course, now it's called brain rot. However, brain rot's a bit more of a problem because instead of maybe hours vegging out in a living room around other people, it's hundreds of moments a day on our phones. Vegging out may have been occasional. Brain rot is constant. Both of them, though, pull us away from God's best for our lives. And so I just want you to understand brain rot, it's not a new concept. As a matter of fact, it's not a concept that's exclusive to digital content either. And I was just thinking about how this has been something that every generation has experienced over the years. So I want to kind of just show you really briefly how this has showcased itself over the last 100 years. You go back to the 1920s and the 30s, it was radio mania, replacing conversation and quiet reflection. Then you get to the 40s, 50s, comic books. Cheap thrills shaped by imagination more than truth, TV and rock and roll, family centered on screens, culture shaped values, video games and cable, obsession and short attention spans, the internet, woohoo, Woo! Virtual connection over face-to-face, social media and smartphones in the 2000s, identity tied to an online image. Then you get to the 2010s, there's streaming and algorithms, which is endless content, eroded patience and depth. And then here we are, the 2020s, you have doom scrolling and brain rot and its numbness through constant consumption of cultural content. Each generation has their own version of shallow distraction, mental numbing, or even cultural overstimulation. And so what you gotta understand is the form changes, but the underlying problem has always been the same, filling our mind with more cultural noise over God's spiritual truth. And that's been the enemy's tactic since the beginning. He wants to fill your mind with everything else, and he wants you to consume everything else, and he wants you to stay away from what God has for you, what God wants to reveal to you, the will he has for your life, the words that he's spoken over you and giving you. And so we have experienced this. And you know, like I said, like God's word has warned us about this. It's, you know, all throughout it, it shares the importance of protecting and guarding and renewing one's mind, as well as in here, what we're gonna find is a warning of culture's desires to infiltrate and saturate our minds with meaningless activities that bring passivity and temptation, and the end goal, you ready for this, is always us living in sin. That's what it's trying to get us to. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," here we're going to see, "do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as one who called you is holy, you are to be holy in all of your conduct." And so what this passage reminds us of, right, is the freedom that we have in Jesus. The freedom that you and I have found in Jesus from slavery and bondage to sin. It also reminds us of the importance of having our minds be ready, be alert, and always looking to Jesus and finding hope and peace and calm and relief in him. And at the end of it, what's the call? To be holy. And to be holy like the one who called us is holy. And so our conduct is to be holy, and now our conduct also includes and is influenced by what we are choosing to consume with our devices. And so the question becomes, does what you digitally consume renew you, strengthen you, protect your mind? Or is it just noise, distraction, in bringing temptation? I'll say it another way. Is your mind influenced more by digital consumption? And this will be up on the screens. Is it influenced more by digital consumption, like what your screen, your device exposes you to? Or is your mind influenced more by spiritual devotion? By God's word, by God's spirit, and what they reveal to you in your life? Now, let me be very clear. This is not bad. It is not a sinful thing, right? This by itself does nothing. It's what we choose to do with it, how we choose to use it, what we're choosing to consume with it that creates the problems, that brings temptation, that brings bad habits, that ultimately leads to sin, and eventually will lead to hurt, hardship, and pain in our lives. Now, I want you to know, this is not going to be a series where, like, I declare that our devices and social media are the devil, right? And that we need to have, like, this massive purge. And, like, at the end of the service today, everyone's going to bring their devices. I got some hammers in the back. We're going to smash them. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Because at the end of the day, like I said, this isn't the problem. This isn't. It's how we use it that becomes the problem. But what this means, like, so, because as with all things, like our devices and social media, guess what they can provide for us? Good, right? They can help us. They can connect us. There's so many things that they provide, but as just much as there is good, there's the same amount of bad, and if not more. And so that means we need to be mindful of what we're consuming, how long we're consuming it, and then ultimately how it's affecting our lives, our relationships, with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, our work, our purpose, all of these things. And then ultimately, how is it affecting our relationship with God? See, as we consume digital and social content, we need to make sure, and this is so important, that we are countering it with spiritual consumption. And so today I want you to begin to ask yourself this question throughout this week, throughout this series, and that is this: how am I countering my digital consumption of entertainment with my spiritual consumption of God? How are you countering it? What does it look like? So we're going to kind of check this out. Now, in Romans 7 and 8, I'm not going to give all of that. I would encourage you to go read both these chapters. But the Apostle Paul kind of highlights the fact that we operate in two modes. There's this spiritual desires. This is this righteous living. And then there's also the fleshly desires, which is cultural living. I want to give you just a little bit from Romans chapter 8 that kind of just talks about this tension, this pull between spiritual and fleshly, and how it's something that pulls at us. This is what it says in Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. And so you got to look at that as you think about this question: what you're consuming digitally versus what you're consuming spiritually. What is your mind more set on? I think at the end of the day, it's all too easy. It almost comes naturally for us to immerse ourselves in the culture around us. And we get swept up by it, right? Because we have friends and we have family and we have coworkers and we have classmates who are, you know, sharing with us and encourage us to watch things with them and laugh with them and experience the things with them that they're experiencing. And in one sense, like, it's fun. We get laughter out of it and we want to enjoy those things with our friends. But if we aren't mindful of what we are allowing to influence us, it can end up consuming us, consuming our heart, consuming our mind, consuming our time, and keeping us from hearing God and living for God. And so we have to have this continual mindfulness of that. And here's what I want to say to you. Every Jesus follower is going to experience this tension with living culturally or spiritually. Every Jesus, you will experience. This is not like this may happen. It's a possibility that it'll happen. If you choose to live for Jesus and to be like Jesus, you will be experiencing tension with culture around you. And I will say this, if you are claiming to be a Jesus follower and you are not experiencing tension with the culture around you, there's a good chance that you have slid on over to conformity. Many Christians try to live in both. And that's not our call. Our call is not to be culturally holy. You can't do that. Our call is to be holy like He is holy. And it comes against everything that culture promotes as good. Throughout this series, starting today, I'm going to ask you to evaluate the influences in your lives. And you know, part of me, as I thought about this, I want, as I begin to just evaluate these things, I want my findings to reveal that I pursue or consume more or spend more time with spiritual devotion over digital consumption, right? Spending more time consuming godly things with a small allowance of digital consumption. But for many of us, the reality of it is that more likely we spend time consuming cultural digital content with almost an obligation or an afterthought of spiritual devotion. It becomes a, if I have time, I've been too busy. I just need a break. And instead of getting to a place where we are worn out, stressed out, anxiety-ridden, and going to the Word of God, we pick up our devices and we just allow culture to saturate us with its influences. And so we've really got to consider what this looks like. This is the tension. And it's a tension we all experience. And we're all going to experience on differing levels depending on where we're at in our walk and in our maturity with Jesus. But this is what Paul speaks of. Romans 7, verse 21, it says this: when I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law, with God's word, but I see a different law in the parts of my body. And what's it doing? It's waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in my body parts. Again, you know, I encourage you this week, go read through Romans 7, all of Romans 8, because he really unpacks a lot of this. But make no mistake, the desire of cultural, social content is to wage war against your mind and to hold you prisoner to it. It wants to put you and make you a slave to it, a slave to sin. I was looking up statistics. Here's what it said. On average, when someone sits down to scroll short form videos, think anything between 20 to 90 seconds, they'll consume close to 100 clips in a single sitting. It's 90 on TikTok and just over 100 on Instagram Reels. That's nearly an hour of endless swiping, each video lasting 20 to 40 seconds, keeping you hooked by the promise of just one more. It's not that much time. And before we know it, an hour's gone. Our minds are filled with fragments of shallow content. And this is exactly what fuels what we now call brain rot. Instead of depth, patience, and reflection, we are training our brains for constant novelty, distraction, and leaving little room for the renewal of God's word and God's spirit in our lives. It's eye-opening when we begin to really look at this. And we can look at it on a large, broad scale and look at the averages and go, well, that's not me. And at the end of the day, like, not every form of social consumption is sinful or evil or even harmful. It just comes down to how much control and influence it has on your life and whether or not it is keeping you or keeping me or actively pulling me away from the things that God wants for my life and the things he's trying to do in the relationships that I have in my life. And so what happens is we have this overconsumption and overdependence on our devices, allowing it to become an obsession or even an addiction that keeps us from experiencing what God wants for us. Now, I'm not a real guy. I wanted to say that because I thought it was funny. I don't do the Tic Tacs. I like to call it Tic Tac because I think that's funny too. And I don't watch Insta Reels. Save for, I gotta be honest here, because there are times when I'll go on Insta and I'll send funny cat videos to my daughter Delaney. And that's about the extent of my watching videos, is just laughing with my daughter about stupid cats. And it's hilarious. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But I'm not watching 90 to 100 in an hour, okay? I'm like maybe doing this once or twice a week and sending her a couple. Anyway, so I need to be honest. Like I've watched, you know, cat videos. And anyway, and I share them with my daughter. It's fun. I'm a bit more old school. Newsflash, I'm old. No. Right? I know you wanted to say something back there, Omar. Am I an old guy? All right, cool. and so what that means is, like, you know, my choice of meaningless consumption, guess what it comes in the forms of? It's tower defense games, first-person or third-person shooters, or even action RPGs. Where are all my old dudes at? I know. Yes! Good. You guys are going to love what I have to say. Anyway, now, so I have, over the years, have recognized this as a problem, as an addiction in my life. And I've spent a lot of time really limiting how much time I spend on that. But it's taken me years of intentional boundaries, of setting up time limits, of having accountability to only play these things for short periods of time. And that's one thing. But the thing that I found that was most important that I had to really work on was being intentional about not being so completely immersed in a game that everyone and everything else is shut off to me. Because that became the problem. years ago before setting limits and boundaries and recognizing this as the problem, while I was playing the game became the most important thing in my life, and everything else was secondary. Anyone relate or willing to say you can relate? Yeah, yeah. And the same is true for this digital consumption of this day and age. And so again, I've spent years, right, kind of rewiring and reminding myself, you ready for this? That mission, that round, that raid, that achievement, that win that you were so desperate for, it's not important, period. Like, that's the reality. But in that moment, it becomes the most important thing I could ever think or dream of in my entire life. And that's what it does. But here's how it comes, ready? It's definitely not as important as my wife. It's definitely not as important as my kids or my role as a husband or a father or a friend. Listen to me. Video games or any digital content should never take priority over time with God or with the people that he's put in your life or the purposes that he's called you to. Its desire and its design is to be the priority in your life. And so for you men who play video games, listen, your wife, your kids, they are more important, and you need to recognize that you prioritizing time in a game over them and God is causing both short-term and long-term damage. And it is most likely driving a wedge in your relationship when it comes to communication, expectations, and absolutely with intimacy. You give that game 8 hours of your attention and your wife 12 seconds and you expect her to be intimate with you in the bedroom, good luck. That's all I'm saying. And here's why. Dude, I say this with so much conviction and passion. You want to know why? Because this is what I did to my wife. And it wasn't until I recognized the problem, right? By being held accountable to my decisions, that I began to change my habits. I put my wife first. And that's when our communication and our expectations and our intimacy got better. The less time I gave to that game or to that device, the greater our relationship became, and the same is true of my relationship with God. So let me just say this, the less time, right, that you give to digital consumption leads to more time for a relational investment. And guess the one thing the enemy doesn't want us to have? Relational investments with other people. And hey, I know this is as best as the next guy. It is a lot easier to go play a video game, to scroll through videos than it is to actually talk to somebody about our feelings, about what they're going through, and actually relationally invest in somebody. It's called complacency and passivity. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to live. Because there's no growth there. You're just gonna continue to do the same thing for the rest of your life, and you're never gonna get any better. At the end of the day, that relational investment, you know what this is called? There's a phrase. It's called quality time. And let me tell you, husbands, every wife wants quality time with their husband. Every kid wants quality time with their father. And guess what? God desires quality time with you. What are you giving your quality time to? And is it creating relational investment? Or is it just a way to rot away your brain, to numb and to distract? Listen, I've experienced firsthand the damage of overconsumption of digital content and what it can do to relationships. Again, it affected my relationship with my wife and even with God. And it caused me to miss out on things and not be a part of things. And do you know what I have to show for it? Nothing. Anybody used to play World of Warcraft? Dude, I logged in so many hours on that game. The greatest thing I ever got from that was selling my account, and I got a whopping $74. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and I got $74. Sweet, thank you, Satan. Reward received. Listen, today, there's more to consume. It's easier than ever. For the old dude, the games are better than ever, faster than ever, the graphics are better. I used to have to work to, build a computer that, you know, this thing does so much better and costs even less. I had to work towards that and spend a lot of money on that. Today, dude, I have like 8 of these at home that are all better than the computers that I had when I was growing up. Can connect to the internet and I can play games on. And so, you know, now, like, it's not like you're waiting on dial-up. Where are my dial-up people at? Dude, these kids don't even know, bro. And you're just like, oh, right? And you see that image that's like, you know, 1,000 kilobytes, and it's like, it's like, what? Show me the, I give up, you know, and it's like, and you're like, I don't have time to wait for this image to load. And so it's not like we have to wait to go home to log into AOL to get online, right? Where are my AOL people at? Woo, that was a fun era, you know? It was just different. I mean, it still captured us, it still drew us in. But it, you know, nowadays it's everywhere, it's all the time. And its goal is to influence your mind to follow and live for it over God. So as you consider your digital consumption, whether it's reels, doom scrolling, video games, just some questions to ask with your brain rot. And they'll be on the screen. Does what I consume bring peace and renewal, or is it just noise and distraction? Is it helping me flourish or harming my life and my relationships? Is it sharpening my mind or dulling it? Does it build relationships or isolate me? Is it an addictive behavior that is triggering a dopamine release and creating an insatiable need to keep consuming for an unhealthy amount of time? And you really just need to begin to evaluate about the things that you're consuming, that you're looking at, you're spending time on. Again, not everything on social media will be harmful, but you know not everything is helpful. And so it's important to understand how these things are affecting you and to have time limits. And again, like, it's of vital importance that we counter cultural consumption with spiritual devotion. You know, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, man, God's word reminds God's people to meditate on his word. I love how Jeremiah 15:16 puts it. It says this: your words were found, and I ate them. All right, Jeremiah, what are you? You eating some mushrooms or something? What's going on? Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words were became a delight and a joy to my heart. What did he say? I ate them. I consumed them. I chewed them up. In Psalm 1, it says this: how happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. This is like basically everything that happens online. Okay, anyway. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. And what does he do? He meditates on it day and night. I love this. I've preached on this many years ago. This terminology to meditate on is likened to a cow chewing its food and then regurgitating it back up and chewing it again. Right? Like a cow chewing its cud. And so what this is just as a cow brings back its food from its stomach to chew on multiple times, followers of Jesus are encouraged to return to Scripture repeatedly, dwelling on it, entering into it, allowing its truth to renew their mind to counter the cultural noise. So what this means is we have got to spend less time regurgitating and re-chewing digital content and more time regurgitating and re-chewing spiritual content. Colossians 3, here's what it says: set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Listen, our devices and social media feeds in the internets, that's right, I said internets, it's saturated with the things that are listed there under worldly nature. And while technology and social media offer good things, our selfish desires and our enemy will use them to keep us from pursuing God. So before we close out, just two kind of challenges that I want to give you for today and for the remainder of the week. The first thing I would say: begin to track and evaluate your digital consumption. The beauty about this is that the iOS developers and the device people, you know what they realized? These things are a problem, right? They're a problem for us as adults. They're really, really a problem for our teenagers. And so what they have begun to do is they have put things in place that can help you. You track your time and set time limits, but you have to do it. So depending on what type of phone you got, Android has something called digital well-being. Apple has something called screen time. Here's what I want you to do. Just spend time this week really examining. Go into those things and see how much time. See which apps you're going to the most. See how many notifications are coming. See how many times you unlock for certain things. Just really spend time examining those things. That's what I would say. I mean, you could begin to make changes if you're blown away and you're like, I didn't realize I spent 3 hours on TikTok the other day. These are the things. It's just this time goes by, and so you can begin to make changes. But I'm just encouraging you to begin to evaluate it. But guess what, y'all? It's not just our devices. It's also our television, right? And so I would encourage you to make note of how much time, how much time you're watching shows, movies, and even sports. Yeah, that's right, sports. Is football season or something right now? Cool, bro. Good job. Way to go, guys. Is there a game today? I don't care. Okay, here we go. And then, of course, gaming consoles. Because while there is gaming on here, the best kind of gaming happens on a gaming console. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Of course I am. So we have to track these things. And again, the same thing. Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, guess what they've all implemented? Ways in which you can limit yourself, but you have to opt in for it. And so you can even go on your Xbox. They have something called, I think I have it up there, family settings. I don't know if it's activated. Sometimes there is, but you have to set it up so that you can begin to track it. Same thing for PlayStation. They have playtime management. Nintendo has parental controls. But you have to set them up. And here's what I'll say. Of course you can do this for your kids. I would encourage you, if you haven't, put limits on your kids' devices, period. And then use it to control them. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But at the end of the day, let's be honest. We also need limits on ourselves and need to be held accountable to them. And so we have to intentionally evaluate our habits so that we begin to see the whole picture and how much is taking away. So the second thing, you gotta compare digital consumption and spiritual consumption. So you're gonna begin to track and evaluate all this digital consumption. But then what I want you to do is go, okay, I'm spending all this time over here with these things. How much time am I spending, really spending with God? Might be a little bit harder to track. So if you have a Bible app, if you do devotionals on there and you do plans or you do digital devotionals, make sure you're making note of that, a little bit easier to track. If you're using your physical Bible and you're journaling and doing those things, man, just track that amount of time in prayer, time in worship. And I'm not really talking about time at church. I mean, you can factor that in if you want, but I'm talking about what you do Monday through Friday with God. Then you get to attending Bible studies or groups, and then you can listen to godly input. There's sermon, there's podcast, there's devotionals. Begin to kind of just track all these things, and then compare it to the digital. That's what I want you to get an eye on. And again, you got to understand the social apps on our devices are programmed so that you will crave and desire more and be dependent on them to feed your desires. Here's what Philippians 4:8 says, and this will be the last thing that I share before I kind of pray out. It says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any moral excellence and if there is any praise, it says, dwell on these things. I was just thinking about what that means to dwell on something. Really spending time in it, really examining it, really studying it, or what we talked about, kind of just chewing on it over and over and over. And so the question becomes, do you dwell more on your digital consumption or on your spiritual devotion? Because the last thing I'll say to you is this, it's imperative that we seek the eternal promises of Jesus over the temporary pleasures of our devices. One leads to hope and peace and joy and fruitfulness. The other to the exact opposite. At the end of the day, God sent Jesus here, right? And he died on the cross to set us free from this type of empty and fruitless slavery to sin. And now, guess what we have? We have his word, we have his spirit, right? It's present with us to help us to renew our mind and to combat cultural consumption and distraction. But first thing we gotta do is we gotta recognize our enemy and culture's tactics to lure us into sin. And then as we recognize, we begin to take steps to remove. And at the end of the day, what I believe, like real true transformation, it's not by what you do, it's by who you go to. And that comes from Jesus, and it comes from his spirit, and it comes from his word. And so without the spirit and a deep desire and dependence on his word, we will continue to be overcome and to be overwhelmed by all the digital noise all around us that produces this brain rot in our lives. And it leaves us living anxious, stressed out, worried, and continually looking for that next temporary fix that culture has to offer. And at the end of the day, and you know this, it'll never be enough. Only Jesus is enough. Only his spirit is enough. Only his word is enough. It's what brings hope and peace and joy and grace into our lives. And these things, they surpass all understanding. And so it's what we need to seek out more in our lives. Church, I'm going to ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. God, today, through your word and through your spirit, you are causing us to look inward, right? Opening our mind to the ways in which culture and our devices are attempting to distract us and pull us away from you. God, my prayer today for all of us, myself included, is that we would take this seriously, that we wouldn't shrug this off, that it just wouldn't just be something where it's like, yeah, I know the phone's a problem, I got a handle on it. No, no, no. That we would really take your word seriously. That we would begin to dwell on your word, meditate upon it. God, that we would be reminded of the fact that we are continually called not to conform to culture around us, but be renewed by you. God, today, throughout this week, as we seek to evaluate these things, God, reveal to us the ways in which we can begin to look to you, come to you, and begin to renew our minds in removing all these other distractions that are attempting to destroy our heart, our mind, and our relationships with others. Give us boldness, give us courage. May we rely on you and depend on you to bring the transformation that is needed to pull away from the temptation and sin that is trying to hold us in bondage. It's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.